But glad you are with us today. It's going to be a very amazing day, and I pray you're encouraged. I bet just by looking at the room, I think some of you watched too much news this week. I think sometimes we just need to take our eyes off what we see and put them on what we do not see. Put them on a greater kingdom. That's what we're going to be talking about today. So again, I want to welcome those online. We are going to be taking communion at the very end of the service. And so if you want to grab some elements at home, some bread, some juice, we invite you to do that so you can partake in communion with us this morning. I just want to let you guys know I decided to cancel my subscription to 2021 so far. I've experienced the first 10 days, and I don't like it, so we're going to start over. And with that, I think there's a lot of people that feel that way. Again, I just found out that the crisis mental health line saw an increase of 891% from last year to this year, 891% increase people calling in for mental health crisis. Because I think, you know, there's enough stuff going on in our own lives, and then you put everything else going on. People are just don't know how to process it, don't know how to deal with it. It can feel overwhelming to them. And so in the middle of that, I know your lives, there's a lot going on. There's people that have maybe passed away in your life. There's job loss. There's relational unrest. There's things going on in your life. And sometimes it's hard to see something greater in the midst of that. It's hard to believe that there is something greater. But we are going to talk about really greatness this whole month, and that God has something greater in the midst of whatever happens around us. So would you guys mind praying with me as we begin our message? So Father, we come to you. God, we look to you. You are our hope. You are our strength. And God, I just pray right now that you would do something amazing. God, as we come, I just ask that your spirit would move in this place, that it would impact hearts in this place. Father, use these words to truly do something greater. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here we go, guys. So God has called you into something greater. I believe that. When Jesus was leaving this earth, he told his few group, this small group of people this, Matthew 28:19-20, he tells them this: "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of this age." He gives this amazing commission to this small group of people that go and make disciples. Go and make more disciples of Jesus. And being a disciple, I believe, is simply this. It's a person who changes their life, whose life is being changed to look like the one that they are following. So if you're going to be a disciple of Tim, your life would begin to look like Tim's. You would eat more Chick-fil-A. You would love to drive old cars. You would love to listen to music and sing out loud. I mean, you change your life to look a lot like my life. And so when Jesus says, "I want you to become disciples," he's calling our lives to be transformed and changed to look like his life. And we were discovering that God has this amazing plan and journey for each and every one of your lives. Last week, we looked at, in the book of Exodus, this commission that was given to the Israelites. See, when Jesus had his communion, it was the Last Supper, most likely the scholars believe that there was actually four cups at that communion. And in those four cups were four promises for each and every one of our lives. And I want to read that passage again to show you those four promises. Exodus 6:6-7 says this: "Therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians." The four things in there are this: I will bring you out, I will free you, I will redeem you, and I will take you as my own people. There's four promises. And last week we looked at God brought us out of Egypt. And today we're going to talk about how Egypt needs to come out of us. That Egypt needs to come out of us, because we may have been brought out of a place, but sometimes that place still stays with us. And so the four things as a church that we're kind of building this around are these four phrases: to know Jesus, to find community, to discover purpose, and live the mission. Last week we looked at knowing Jesus. Today we're going to talk about finding community. And again, the theme is, I will free you. I will free you. So he's talking to a group of Israelites who were in slavery for 400 years. So their parents, their grandparents, their great-grandparents have always been slaves. They've always known slavery. So when they would wake up in the morning, they knew exactly what to do. They knew what kind of food they were going to get. They knew how long they had to work. They knew they could say this and not say that. They were brought up in this system over years and years and years and years. And then all of a sudden, one day, God comes in and sets them free. Now, can you imagine that huge direct shift? How many of you have been out of the country before? Oh, this is a traveling crew. Okay, I like that. Imagine that we took you tomorrow morning, you're kind of sleeping, and next thing you know, somebody shows up at your house, grabs you, puts you on a plane, and flies you over to Brazil, and drops you off in Brazil and says, good luck. How are you going to feel? Confused, overwhelmed, not knowing what to do? Now, that's exactly the same with slavery. Because slavery, they knew exactly what it's going to look like. They knew what their life was going to be like. And the next thing you know, now they're free, and they don't know what to do with that freedom. And I believe this is a lot of us today, is that if you put your trust in Jesus, Jesus has set you free, but yet you don't know how to live free. Am I talking to anybody today? Here we go. Just let me get warmed up for a second. Some of you, God has brought you freedom, but you don't know what that freedom even means. That you're still, your life still looks like it was, and you still have the same fears and the patterns as it used to be, yet God has freedom for you. And so these Israelites, once they were set free, multiple times on their journey to their promised land. So they're freed from Egypt, now they're going to their promised land. They say this phrase, we want to go back to Egypt. And what happened was, right after they got freed, they're going up to the Red Sea. And there's this big sea in front of them. And Pharaoh and his army decide to come and kill them. You know what they say? We want to go back to Egypt. Like, we don't. This was a dumb idea. Like, why did I choose to walk out? I want my slavery again. But then God does something. He opens up the Red Sea, and they walk through it into freedom. And then Pharaoh and his army come behind them, and God engulfs that enemy underneath the water. So now they have the Red Sea that's protecting them, the enemy destroyed. You would think that, man, it's all clear sailing to the promised land, right? Well, it's not, though, because it's hard. And about halfway through the journey, they start complaining again because they're thirsty. I'm thirsty, okay? And they said, I want to go back to Egypt. I want to go back to Egypt. It's like, wait a minute, you guys have just been freed. God has just set you free. He's killed all your enemies, and you say, I want to go back to Egypt. But the most crazy of the stories is what I'm going to read for you today. Well, I'm not going to read it. You guys are going to read it because you love your Bibles, right? All right, grab your Bibles, turn to the book of Exodus, and we're going to look at one of the most amazing stories in Numbers chapter 27. Numbers chapter 27. Or Numbers 13, verse 27, it says this. Numbers 13, verse 20, sorry. When I get thrown off, sometimes it takes me a while to catch on again. It's this little microphone thing. Get off. You know, I don't like you. Okay. Numbers 13, 27. Just making sure you guys are paying attention. You guys will be reading some weird stuff if you're in Numbers 27. All right. Numbers 13, 27, it says this. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here's its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. So what's happening here? Well, what's taking place is this. Once they got to the promised land, Moses picks a group of 12 men to go into the promised land and scope it out, check it out, to go see if it is all it's cracked up to be. So they just left Egypt. They're free. They're at the doorstep of the promised land. And God says, take 12 men into that promised land. So they go into the land and they come back. And they said, you know what? It is pretty awesome. There is milk and honey flowing. It's got Starbucks. It's got everything. I mean, it is just, it's amazing. But there's big giants in the land. There's big obstacles in the land. They're too big for us to take. It's too hard, they said. Now think about something. They've always been slaves. They've always known slavery. So they never had to fight together. They never had to fight together because they were always a slave. So this is this group that gets to the land and they go check out. They said, it's good, but there is a battle that's going to be hard for us. The giants are too big. The problem is too big for our promise. For some of you today, God says, man, I got a life, a great life, an abundant life for you, a life of freedom and hope. But all you can see is the giant that's in front of you. All you can see is that problem that's in front of you. God has set you free, but yet that pain or that sin that's in your life is blocking the view of your promised land. It's too big. See, the Israelites, for 400 years, they knew a certain way of doing life. Now, all of a sudden, they have freedom. Some of you had grown up in situations, patterns in your old life, and you've carried that even into your freedom. And it's stopping you from what God has in store for you. All you have, all you can see is the giants that are blocking God's promise for you. That problem is bigger than the prize that God has for you. But I love verse 30. It says this. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land. We certainly can do it. Caleb's like, no. Forget the giants. Forget the problems. We can take this land. I know what you guys are saying. Yeah, it's going to be hard, but I believe that we can take this land. This is the promised land from God. This is what God promised us. See, sometimes me and you, we lose that Caleb-like spirit. Sometimes we lose that God can do something. God can bring us into that something greater than what we have. And all we end up doing is seeing the giants that are in front of us. Verse 31 says this. But when the men who had gone up with him, now these are the 10, they said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. They spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those who live in it. I think they're starting to exaggerate it a little bit, aren't they now? It's devouring them. It's like the Kraken. It's eating everything. All the people we saw there are of great size. Now, all the people are great size. Suddenly, it's just the report's getting worse and worse. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak that come from the Nephilim. Now, watch this. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. Catch that? In my eyes, I'm small. And we look the same to them. We look like grasshoppers. They begin to look at themselves instead of looking at the promise. I can't do this. It's too big. My sin is too strong. My addiction is too great. I can't get out of this. My parents always did it this way. Their parents did it this way. This is the way. This is just who I are. I'm stuck in this pattern, this cycle. Now watch what happens in Numbers chapter 14, verse 1. The verse right over, it says this. That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept out loud. They played some like Celine Dion in the background. Everybody started hugging and cuddling. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole assembly said to them, if we had only died in where? Egypt again. Or in the wilderness, take your pick. Verse 3, why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by this sword? Why is God doing this to us? Now, did you guys catch something here? What did God do to them? Nothing. He brought them to the land and said, this is your land. And they see the problems, and now they're blaming God. Ooh, that's another sermon. I need to save that one for later. It's not God's fault. He just brings you to the promised land. But why is God, oh, God, you're so mean to me. Our wives and our children will be taken as plunder. What are they doing? They're forecasting the future that has not existed. That's fear. I'm creating a future. How many, no, don't raise your hand. Some of you do this, okay? You start creating the future. This is what it's going to look like. Some of you with watching the news all week, this is what you're doing right now. This is what the future is going to look like. Stop doing that. This is what's going to be. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to where? You guys didn't say it. Where? They said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to? You catch a theme. This group that has been set free, all they can think about is Egypt. They just want to go back to normal life in bondage. Like, how crazy is this? Because they didn't even have to fight a battle yet, but they're already giving up. They're already saying, I can't do it. God's mean to us. I want to go back to the way it was. See, this is what happens to all of us, I believe, is that we hear that God has something greater for us. But all we can see is the problems. All we can see is the obstacles. All we can see is the things that my addictions, my habits, my past, my hurts, all those things, I can't get past this. This is all I'm going to experience. And the sad thing about the story is that Moses listened to them. And they went back. You know what they did? They wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. And they were right at the doorstep of a promise. And after that generation, it says, died, God had to get rid of that negative generation so the new generation could walk into the promised land. But there was two men that got to walk in the promised land with them. It was the other two spies who came back with a good report. The other two spies, Caleb and Joshua, who came back and says, we can do this. God says, you can go into that land. Man, I want to have a Caleb spirit. I want to be like a Caleb. I don't want to be like that 10. There's enough of that 10 out there. I want to be a Caleb says, I want to go where God has me going. But how this applies to your life is, I had this thought. What if that 10 came back and they were all like Caleb? What if that 10 came back and they all had Caleb's attitude? Like, yo, there's crazy big people in there, but man, our God is crazy bigger. Like, we can do this. What would you think would happen? They would have been in the promised land. But because 10 voices shut up God's dream in their hearts, 10 voices stopped a million plus people from walking into a promise. 10 voices. That's why 1 Corinthians 15:33 says this, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. I love that. Don't be misled. Like, yo, this ain't fake news. Like, trust me. Don't be deceived. Bad company, you put yourself around bad company, it's going to corrupt the goodness, the promise that's inside of you. You put that sphere around you, and let me tell you something, your sphere is not just flesh and bone, it's also a screen. You put enough screen around you that's telling you it's hopeless, it's over, it's done, you're going to believe that, and you're going to spend your Christian life walking in a wilderness. I'm fired up, y'all. Because I hate that Christianity has become so boring to so many. Like, Christianity is a life of adventure with God, but so many of us have stopped at the promised land because the voices are saying, you can't go in. So many voices around us, teenagers, at school, you have so many voices around you saying, oh, you should do it this way. Don't go God's way. That's lame to do that. You should try that. It's destroying the promised land inside of you. and you're going to spend your life walking in a circle. My wife and I don't have Facebook anymore because it makes me too angry. But when we did, one of the craziest things was to look back at my old classmates. They all bald. Lord, I'm joking. I want my hair. Lord, forgive me. But it's amazing to miss the cool guy, to miss the guy that used to walk around with a limp and used to tell everybody, like, God's stupid. Man, he's, like, bald and broke. And I'm just like, why would have I ever listened to you? And so many people are listening to people that have no value to your life. And here's the way to see it. It's, are they calling out the promised land in you or the Egypt inside of you? Are they telling you, go back to Egypt. Go back to the way it was. Do what you always done. Oh, you were hurt as a child? Oh, just stay there. Just be you. No. I love a program that we have at New Life Church. Love this program. It's called Celebrate Recovery. Come on, CR. Celebrate Recovery. Because that group focuses on anybody with a hurt, a habit, or a hang-up. I just described all y'all. You all got hurts, trust me. You all got habits, you all got hang-ups. This group says, you know what, we don't want to stay in the wilderness. We want to go to the promised land. So we're going to deal with our hurts, our habits, and our hang-ups. And move forward to where God wants us to go. Some of you are staying right where you were 10 years ago. Because the voices around you are affirming you to stay there. It's the voices. I believe so much in this passage that it is the voices that keep us where we're at. It's what confirms what's inside of us. If we put people around us or voices or screens around us that confirm the Egypt inside of us, we're just going to go back to Egypt. But if you surround yourself with the voices that say, there's a promised land for you, you're going to want to go to the promised land. I was so thankful as a teenager when everybody was getting drunk and laid and drugs and all that. When I was in high school, I had a dear friend named Dan Ostrom. Dan, if you are watching this, I love you, man. But Dan Ostrom was a friend to me that would confirm the promised land inside of me. And we weren't perfect little angel kids. We did some dumb, naughty stuff too. But I'll tell you one thing. When everybody was doing crack and having sex and doing drugs and all of that and wanting me to be a part of those parties, my friend Dan was like, yo, Tim, that's stupid. Like, let's play Halo instead. Yeah, let's do Halo instead. If you guys know what Halo is, like a first-person shooter, yeah. Okay, 1990s, okay? But let's go do Halo instead. And going, and we used to spend hours playing Halo, but you know what we also used to do? We used to talk about God and talk about girls. And I'm telling you, the conversations about girls were the right conversations about girls. Like, he'd be like, yo, Tim, stay away from that one. She's a cougar. And she is going to be, like, stay away. Like, man, you should go after a girl that is, like, loving Jesus. Like, yeah, I should. Yeah, you're right, man. It's a good idea, okay? If I didn't have a Dan, I can't imagine the voices, what they would be speaking over me. But what voices are speaking over you? What voices are surrounding you? Are they speaking the Egypt inside of you? Or are they speaking the promised land inside of you? What are they speaking inside of you? We're calling this that finding freedom, that God's promise to find freedom, we're calling it finding community. Find community. Because we believe in community, but not just community to hang out and talk about how the Vikings are the best team on the planet. We're not talking about that. We're talking about finding a group of people or people in your life that you surround yourself with and say, you know what? We're going to go after God's promised land together. Why do we talk about, hey, you should get into a small group? Why do I love my small group? Like, I got some of my small group peeps right in here with me today. Like, why do I love this? It's because when I'm around those type of people, I want to go to the promised land. I want to go somewhere deeper. I want to go somewhere farther. I don't want to stay where I'm at. But if I isolate myself, if I'm all alone with me in Egypt, I'm going to long for Egypt again. And I know for you that are at home right now and you're isolated, you can't be together with people, I just want to tell you that we love you. And we want to make sure that you are not alone. So text in or comment in, hey, reach out to you or put your name in there. We want to reach out to you because we don't believe in anybody being alone. Like, God has made this for his body. He calls us the body of Christ, that we're his body and we need each other. We need each other to get to the promised land. I love what James 5, verse 16 says. It says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So let me just ask a question. If we don't confess our sins to each other and we're not praying for each other, from this verse, do you think you're going to find healing? I don't. I believe healing is found in a community. I believe God has made it that way. He's not called us to be isolationists. He's called us to be the body of Christ. And as the world gets more nuts and crazy, I need this so much more. I need the body of Christ because that is something greater than what I see in the world around me. I need this. I need people speaking the promised land in me, not the Egypt inside of me. Because I don't want to spend my life 40 years walking in a circle with my Christian faith. I want to go to the greater depths with God. I want to go see something more amazing than I ever thought I could. Every move of God that I have had in my life, and all the crazy stories that I've told you guys from this stage for the past 4 years, all have a common denominator. A dear friend pushed me to go somewhere. A dear friend challenged me. A dear friend held me accountable. Everyone has a common denominator to it. And you may say, well, man, God's just not moving. This is God's dead and just things aren't happening. And I would say, who are you surrounding yourself with? Because you are seeing a completely different God than I'm seeing. I'm seeing a God that is at work and moving. But you may say, well, Tim, you know what? Nobody's reached out to me. Nobody texts me. Nobody loved me. I'm all alone. I'm going to tell you something. We wrote Find Community for a reason. It puts the ownership on you. This church isn't a buffet where you come and we serve you. You say, you know what? I want to go after God where God wants me to go. I want to find community. I'm going to put people in my life. I'm going to take this seriously. Because if you wait on me or you wait on the church or the systems to do that, you're going to be waiting a long time. Dear friend in my life, Steve Siemens, has been another great person in my life. But I'm telling you, one of the first couple times we got together, it was I reached out to him. And I said, Steve, let's just get together and talk. And then he reached out to me. Okay, young man. I'm like, okay, I'll go with you. Let's have some coffee. A couple times back and forth. And then it's created a deep friendship and accountability where we've prayed together. And I want to tell you something, y'all. I've even cried with Steve one time. Crazy. I don't cry. Except with Hallmark movies, but. But with, man, with that relationship, it's like it's gone to a different level. But it didn't just happen because God provided. It happened because I was like, I need people in my life. I don't do this alone. And I just have such a wrench in my gut that this is the type of message that we need to be preaching, not just here, but all over America right now. I believe all over this world right now, the church needs to understand this concept that we are in this together, that we need each other to go deeper with God, that there's something greater for us. The moves of God that have happened in the past, where God truly worked in supernatural ways, it wasn't through big things and campaigns. It was actually through small groups of people that gathered together to love and serve Jesus. The revival that took place right after Christ died and went into heaven to change the world and change Constantine's heart was because of just a lot of small groups of people would gather together and love each other and push each other to something greater, push them towards heaven. And today I want to encourage you and challenge you that we are the body of Christ. If you're a believer of Jesus today, we represent Jesus on earth. You ever thought about that? We represent Jesus on earth. So if you need Jesus, where do you go? To the body. I know it seems weird, but he has put this, if you read this, the body of Christ is there for each other to help us see the promised land of God, to help us not walk in the Egypt that's in our own heart. We're going to take communion in just a second, so you at home, grab your communion elements. We're going to take communion, and what I love about communion is that communion was always done in a group. So really quick, if you don't have a communion cup, put your hand in the air like you just don't care. Be loud and proud about it. If you don't have a communion cup, put your hand in the air. We'll get you those communion cups. But this communion cup represents what the early church did together. I'll invite the worship team forward too. I hear you guys opened them already. I didn't say open them. But what this represented was this group would gather together and they would remember what Jesus has done, how Jesus has called them to something greater. And he would share that this is the body and this is the blood. The bread represents the body. The juice represents the blood. But I was just reading this morning, and I just it made me laugh because even a simple concept like this, we can mess up. And I was reading in Corinthians, and it was talking about how the early church, they were messing this up. And it made me laugh because it said this. For when you are eating, Paul's giving them like how to do it. For when you're eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. You catch that? Like when you're having your communion, some of you actually sneak away and do your own thing. He says, as a result, one person gets hungry and the other one gets drunk. Oh, you guys didn't laugh. I thought that was hilarious. Because as soon as they're like, you know what, we're going to do our own thing, somebody got a little too tipsy with the wine. They were missing the whole point of communion as soon as they started isolating themselves. And I believe that is such an example of the Egypt inside of us. That as soon as we isolate ourselves, we just affirm the Egypt that's inside of us. It's the first place we go to. And this represents his body. But he also calls us the body of Christ. And we remember that we are part of something greater. Something greater than what has ever touched this planet. You are part of something that surpasses any governments, any nations, any systems. You are part of an eternal kingdom that will last forever. And you're just an alien on this earth. But you are part of something way greater. And we gather together and we take this communion as a reminder that you're with me in this. You love Jesus like me. You're after Jesus like me. We're part of something greater. We both love Jesus. And that's what this represents. It encourages us. It strengthens us. So as a church family right now, let's take this together. So on the top layer, there's the wafer. You can peel this off at home. You can grab the bread. But this represents his body, which was broken for all of us. Let's take and eat it in remembering of him. The next is the cup. Represents his blood that was spilled for all of us. Let's take and drink it in remembrance of him. The Bible tells us that we do this remembrance of him until he returns, to remind us that we are the body of Christ. We're going to go into a time of worship, but before I do, I just want to, if anybody's at home right now and you're just feeling like, man, I am isolated, I am alone, and I don't have that community, Tim, that you're talking about, and man, I want that in my life. I don't want Egypt. I want to have the promised land in my heart. You can text COMMUNITY to the number 515 515- 297-7447. What that does is sends us an email so we can reach out to you this week and make sure that you aren't alone during this time. I'll give you a second to do that. Text that right now. If you are at home, you're alone, you're feeling isolated, and you need somebody to speak the promised land of God in your life and hope in your life. I love you guys. I believe that there's so much greater, but we do it together. And we have to find that freedom from the old Egypt inside of us, because Egypt keeps on coming back up. Maybe it's a pain from your past, a hurt that you've had, you've carried it for years, and you just want freedom from it. It's just following you around. Or maybe it's that sin, it's that addiction. And you're just like, man, I should be over this by now. I know what God's done, but I just keep on going back to the same sin. Anger over and over, or gossiping or lying, or, you know, it's pornography or lust or whatever this is. I can't kick it, and just, I don't have freedom in this area. Or maybe I am struggling with hope right now. I'm looking at our world, and I'm getting hung up on not having any hope, and I need to look past this into something greater. If that's you today, we're going to have a time of prayer where we don't want you to be alone. We want some people to pray for you. And just somebody come alongside you and just lift you up in prayer, whatever that is. If it's a hurt, if it's a habit, if it's a hang-up, God wants freedom. Freedom for you. And that happens where two or more gather together. So we're going to have some prayer team on the front and on the sides. And if you want prayer this morning, this group would love to pray with you. And we're going to sing one song as we close out our time today. We're just going to sing how great the Lord is. We're going to sing His praises. And if you are just like, you know what? Enough's enough. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of fear. I'm tired of anxiety. I'm tired of the sin. I'm tired of worry. I'm tired of this past. And you're like, I want freedom today. Come forward. Grab somebody, and they would love to pray with you.